Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Thanks so much for jumping on the Employee Cycle Podcast. Really excited to have you share all your thoughts and wisdom and knowledge and whatever you want to share today, as we're just so thrilled that so many HR leaders have been willing to take time to do this. And so today we're going to discuss how HR can lead their company through uncertainty. And before we get started, I would love for you to provide some background info regarding your name, your title, your company, and where you're located.
Sounds good. Well, first, Bruce, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm really pleased to be able to participate in this with you. My name is Lisa Novak. I run human resources and talent for a startup company in Austin, Texas called Data.World.
Awesome. And question, did you have any employees working remotely prior to the stay-at-home orders?
Not really, actually. A big part of our culture, and especially in our pure startup, our very early stage startup mode, we really felt it was important to have our team there on site and together to collaborate live and in person and really, you know, grab the person you need for whatever meeting you're about to walk into and kind of learn from each other through osmosis being in the same building together. So no, actually, this was a real departure for us.
Great. So I want to give a timestamp with today being June 10th. So the listeners and audience has a sense of where the world is as you're responding to my questions. So one of the things that I've been asking a lot of our guests is, it seems as though most people were in crisis mode in the thick of things when it comes to COVID. And now that we're beginning of June and there are a lot of restrictions being eased, at least across the U.S., where do you find the status of your workforce today?
We are 100% work from home right now. And we've also recently made, several times through the course of the last couple of months, made the announcement to our company that we will be among the very last companies to return to the office space. And why we feel that way, Bruce, is because we've managed to transition incredibly well and continue to be a very successful company through this as we moved to the work from home environment. And as a result of that, we've collectively decided there is simply no reason for Data.World or our employees to even be 0.00001% of the problem. So it makes sense for us to stay at home. It makes even more sense when you know a little bit about our environment, because our office building is actually right across the street from a big clinic here in Austin. And in fact, many of the spaces in the offices in our building are clinical in nature. We have some eye doctors and some physical therapy and things like that. So it's just it just makes sense for us to do the right thing and continue to stay home.
And in regards to where your individual employees stand on this, do you have the mixture of employees where some people want to go back to the office, others love working from home and maybe want to do this permanently, and then somewhere in the middle? Or do you have a lot of people in your workforce really leaning to one end of the spectrum?
You know, no accounting for humans, are there? It's all over the map, definitely. We certainly have some people who feel that they're much more productive at home, who are enjoying, you know, not getting dressed up every day and being able to work in the middle of the night because the setup's there. We have other people, frankly, like myself, who are just, I miss my coworkers. I miss that piece of my family, if you will. And I'm certainly eager to get back and be with my team. But I understand our thought process here, and I 100% agree with our thought process and our decision-making here. So we're all bucking up pretty comfortably and making the best of it. We are actively sharing and employee surveys to kind of get a better gauge of when the doors do open back, what is it going to look like? And we're listening to and hearing our team members, our employees, as we make those decisions.
So you mentioned you miss your work family, and I typically believe that when people look at their workforce as a family, then they probably have a high level of engagement and a great culture. So, you know, assuming that's true, which I'm Sure it is. How are you maintaining that culture that you had pre-COVID as everyone is working remotely?
It is true. We have a remarkable culture. It's one of the things I'm most proud of at Data.World. And there's a lot to be proud of in my organization, but our culture really shines. It was of utmost importance when our founders built the company to begin with that we were going to build it with culture in mind and with the humans in mind. It is the philosophy and the operating principles of our team. And so that was one of our big concerns as we all shifted to working from home. How do we maintain this familial and collaborative kind of culture when we all have to be in different homes? And it's been a unique challenge for us. I'd say we are handling it pretty well and really creatively. So it's, you know, it's a lot of the same things that everyone else is doing. We've transitioned to the world of video conference and being on TV all day, as it feels like these days. But then we've also transitioned some of the things, some of the events and the activities that we used to do together in person, we've transitioned them to being able to do them virtually. One of my favorite examples is our company does an event. It was actually one of our engineers who came up with this idea. She was highly inspired by TED Talks, right? It's very, very smart people giving their 15 to 20 minutes of their wisdom and sharing that. And so she came up with the idea. Our little company mascot is an owl named Sparkle. And she came up with the idea of Owl Talks. And so we did that in person live. And what it is any of our employees can choose a subject. Our wish and our guidance is that it shouldn't be about work. Choose a subject of something that's relevant in their world or that they have some sort of expertise around and do their 10-minute owl talk. And it was a big event for us, really, really so much fun. And we learned so much about each other. And so as we transitioned to work from home, we kept it going. We did an owl talks, you know, live from our own homes kind of thing. And it was really successful. We also, you know, we've got a lot of the standard Austin, Texas, or anywhere else, USA, happy hours, right? It's a part of who we are, those kinds of events and that kind of camaraderie and party. And so we've done things where we've had the virtual happy hours, but we've certainly gone a couple of steps further by delivering cocktails or non-alcoholic cocktails, if you will, as people's preference, to their homes for our happy hours. So we're coming up with creative ways to kind of keep that same spirit going and to celebrate our successes, celebrate our team, celebrate our continued growth as a startup here in Austin.
All of that sounds really fun and exciting, and I'm glad that your company is doing everything possible to keep your workforce engaged and helping them to reduce that stress that everyone is feeling right now. But I am curious, as every company is trying to do all of these things, and it seems like 99% of these efforts either involve Zoom or some type of video chat or video conferencing software, how do you keep your employees from feeling Zoom fatigue or video conferencing fatigue when maybe they just don't feel like it?
Yeah, it's such a new challenge to everyone, isn't it? I think those of you who have worked from home successfully in the past and so many people, you know, have already had already transitioned to that lifestyle are probably much better at it. And so this is kind of new for all of us. I'd say that's probably not something that we're mastering, but we are getting better at it. What we've done are things like eliminate unnecessary meetings. Seems as simple as pie, doesn't it? But it's not that easy because what we have to do is really evaluate the purpose of those meetings, really do a deep self-reflection on kind of what we're trying to get out of those and how we can reallocate them or how we can combine them. So really just trying to minimize the internal, you know, video time, if you will.
So now that I'm assuming this is the biggest crisis that you've ever dealt with throughout your HR career, that's an assumption.
That's pretty accurate. I've, at the risk of aging myself, I've been HRing for about 25 years, so I've also seen a couple of significant economic downturns, and I HR'd through 9/11 and some other, you know, global concerns, but truly nothing has touched this.
Got it. Side note, I love how you turn HR into a verb and HR this. I like that. I like that. I'm going to have to use that. But in regards to HR dealing with a crisis and dealing with an enormous and unprecedented level of uncertainty, what have you learned about the skills that you have either already learned as an HR leader or new skills that you've had to bring to the table in regards to helping your workforce navigate through this crisis?
I'd say I have really strengthened my compassion arm. And that's not to suggest, or muscle, that's not to suggest that I wasn't compassionate previously, but we have to be really kind of creatively compassionate. Everybody's story, everybody's situation is incredibly unique from the next person. And so now when we're listening as HR leaders, we have to listen for the uniqueness too. There is not a one size fits all to make this all better for someone. Someone might be struggling because they simply don't have good office space in their tiny apartment with their two roommates, right? Just being locked in the room or finding the right physical setup to get themselves productive and comfortable. Other people are dealing with, you know, six children. Yeah, that's right. You heard me. And that's a whole different story. And their concerns are completely unique. And so that's really what I've learned is that there isn't a solution for this, that every single person needs to be heard. And frankly, that's a lot of what's necessary there is they just need to share it, to vent, to hand someone some of their struggles. And that the solutions, if there are solutions for them, they're unique solutions, that we need to be creative for that individual and not kind of bulking out what the answer is for everyone, because every single person's in a different story right now.
So with all Americans experiencing a global health pandemic, with an economic recession combined with a, you know, horrific high profile display of racial injustice with police brutality and protest and all of the things that are happening right now in the US that's driving a lot of stress and tension and anger and frustration. A lot of this typically falls on the shoulders of HR to deal with all of it. So as an HR leader, how do you decide when and how and where to deal with all of these things, since there's so much that your workforce is now experiencing?
I am spending a lot of time listening right now, Bruce. I am reading and learning. I am coordinating and collaborating with my other HR peers, not only here in Austin, not only in technology, but all across the country in varying sizes and industries of companies to gain more ideas. And what I think we're all learning is that we are sure smarter as a team. I'm really fortunate, again, to be in an organization where the things that matter to the world also matter to us. So we get to do things that can make an impact and make us feel like we're participating in what's going on today. Data.world is one of our platforms is a free open tool for the entire world. You can go to data.world and sign up for our free community right this very minute. We have over 750,000 users on it already. And what we've put out there when, frankly, the work from home, when COVID hit and no one really kind of knew where to go for information, data.world put together a data resource hub around COVID-related data. So we're able to do things that we feel like are contributing. We are actively putting together another data resource hub on our platform around the policing in America and the data that we can collect there. It's been really challenging to get good data in that area, but we're working hard to be able to do it. And so being able to stay focused on things that are positive and focused on things that could help drive some of this change in the tumultuous world that we're experiencing right now helps us to feel positive and keep kind of that chin up spirit as we go through this. In addition, we genuinely have each other. We've got a great leadership team who shares their not only their ideas, but also their feelings. And so we all are able to feel like we have a place to turn. We can talk to each other. We're very open. I have an incredibly diverse organization as well. Thankfully, we have a great D&I committee and group. It's frankly over a third of our company is involved in it because we just have a passion in that area. And so we've got places that we can talk about it, places we can share ideas, and the company is supportive of us acting on those ideas as well. In fact, for example, I just announced earlier today that Data.World has added Juneteenth as a company holiday to our roster, not for this year, but ever going, with the encouragement that we spend that day educating ourselves or others.
Well, Lisa, thank you so much for being such an awesome podcast guest. We really appreciate all the insights and knowledge and information that you shared today. So on behalf of our team at Employee Cycle and all the people that will be listening to this awesome episode, we wish that you, your family, and your team stay safe and healthy, and we really appreciate you taking the time.
Genuinely my joy to join you today, Bruce, and I wish the same for you and all of your circle of loved ones.